Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're speaking this week about the readings the church is giving us from the first letter of Timothy. In particular, I wanted to hone into its focus in really at the beginning of this week and then later in the week. The readings focus in on the uniqueness of Jesus, his power, his immortality, his capacity alone to save us. He's the one who ransoms us. He's the one mediator between God and man we spoke about yesterday. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net, listen to the programs on the computer or download them on whatever device works for you. While you're there, I want to encourage you to browse the website. You can take a look. I think we might have some seats left for our pilgrimage that's coming up in the spring of 2020 in May. We're going to walk the footsteps of St. Paul, which I'm really looking forward to. We also, you could see there on the website, our other radio program, Sister Ann Shields, Food for the Journey, Choices We Face television program, and Crossing the Goal. There's lots of good free material there as well. Articles we've written, our newsletters, and things that are we put on the website to build you up and to strengthen you and encourage you in the faith. So where I left off yesterday was talking about the phrase that Paul uses here, the description. Jesus says, for there is one God, there's also one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. And then I took up paragraph 430 and 432 from the Catechism to talk about the fact that right from the beginning, you know, the angel Gabriel gave Jesus as a proper name, which means God saves. And he's both God and he's a savior. That's who Jesus is. And just two words is a beautiful summary of Jesus' identity and his mission, the Catechism tells us. And that in 432, echoing the words of St. Peter from the Acts of the Apostles, the Catechism reminds us that in Jesus, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus. Jesus is the only Savior of the world. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Anybody who's saved, anybody who eventually ends up in the presence of the Father, whether they know Jesus was the means or not, whether they knew Jesus or not, if for some reason, by God's grace, they were able to follow the light that God had given them, what they're following, they may not know it because it's not proclaimed to them as such. What they're following, if it's authentic and if it's from God and it's the true light that comes from God and grace to believe it in faith and follow it, if they appear before the judgment seat of God, what they're going to see is they're going to see that Jesus is what they sought with all their heart, their whole life. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. Jesus is the goal, the center, the source of all. Chapter 1 of 1 Timothy, St. Paul echoes, or really he states for the first time in the letter, what he echoes here in the second chapter, Jesus' uniqueness as mediator, the one who ransoms us, the one who saves us. I want to read this section from chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. Paul said, I thank him who has given me strength for this, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful by appointing me to his service, that he's grateful to the Lord who's given him strength and power to fulfill this ministry of an apostle that he'd been called to preach the gospel. He says, though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him. So St. Paul, we know his story. He made war. He went after the apostles and those who had begun to follow the apostles and to proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. He went after them to shut them down, to imprison them. And if they were stoned or killed, he had no problem with that at all. He wanted them stopped because he thought they were false teachers. Until, of course, Jesus revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus. Paul goes on and says, though I formerly blasphemed and persecuted and insulted him, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. Paul's saying, even though I was the worst of sinners, he'll say later, even though I was committing these grave sins and I was ignorant, I didn't realize what I was doing fully. I mean, I didn't know that they were actually proclaiming the truth. And God in his mercy opened my eyes, Paul is saying. I was in a state of darkness. Friends, this is just a description of the road that every human being travels. We may not all be persecutors of the apostles at some point in our life, and the teachers and the followers of Jesus, or we may not be insulting Christ. Some do today. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus hung from a cross on Calvary and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Just as those who stood at the foot of the cross and cursed Jesus, and those who today curse Jesus, they both believe they're right. But the mercy of God is extended to them and extended to everyone through the person of Jesus Christ. Paul says, "Because I had acted in ignorance in unbelief, and the grace," that means the gift, the kindness of God, "our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the foremost of sinners. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." To the King of ages. Such a beautiful line. Paul can articulate so clearly the reality of what happened to him and who Christ is. I want to read verse 15 again, because he's making a point of highlighting it and underlining it. He's saying, "This saying is sure and it's worthy of your full acceptance." This is at the heart of what Jesus' entire mission was all about. Paul said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come just to enlighten us. He didn't come just to encourage us. He didn't come just to give us more commandments. He came on a mission to save. And who needs to be saved? Every single human being is born into sin. Scripture teaches us, and the church echoes it so clearly. We're born into sin. Sin causes us to be separated from God in relationship for him, because what is unholy cannot be united to what is holy, that is the holy God. And sin produces death. Sin reigns in death, Scripture says. And so we're literally under a curse, the Scripture tells us, the curse of death. And no matter how hard we try to save ourselves, we can't. We can't pay the price for our own sin. We can't do what Paul is saying right here. This is so important. He said that Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience for an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. What Jesus is coming and saving us from sin is all about is to make it possible for us to enter eternal life. Eternal life is what? It's sharing in God's life. It's the divine life. It's being united to God. And my work, my effort can't produce eternal life. I can't, no matter how much money I might spend, no matter how much time I might spend, no matter how much work or even good work I do, I can't save myself, because salvation means having my sins taken away and cleansed. And that's done by the precious blood of Jesus. That's a gift. And I can't summon up the divine life in myself. And despite what some sort of modern New Agers want to say, it's not already in me. The divine life is not in me. I have natural life, but I don't have the God life, the Christ life in me. And Jesus is the one who becomes one of us precisely so he can deal with the problem that plagues us all, and he can give us the life that's in him. He who identified himself fully with us. Paragraph 432 describes Jesus' capacity to do it this way. He said, "Jesus' resurrection," this is from the Catechism, "Jesus' resurrection glorifies the name of the Savior God. For from that time on, it is the name of Jesus that fully manifests the supreme power of the name which is above every name. The evil spirits fear his name. In his name, his disciples perform miracles, for the Father grants all that they ask in his name." By attributing to Jesus the divine title Lord, the first confessions of the church's faith affirm from the beginning that the power, honor, and glory due to God the Father are due to Jesus himself, because he was in the form of God, and the Father manifested the sovereignty of Jesus by raising him from the dead and exalting him into his glory. And from that place of glory, as Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he has the power to give eternal life to whomever he chooses. The words of Father Joseph Fitzmyer, a good biblical scholar who has gone home to the Lord, he described Jesus' power and capacity this way, and it's entirely unique. He says, the glory, and we just heard that the catechism underlining that the Father raised Jesus from the dead and exalted him into his glory. He brought in Jesus, he brought human flesh, he brought us in the person of Jesus into the very glory of God the Father. Father Fitzmyer describes it this way. He says, the glory that Jesus received from the Father became his power, the power to create new life in those who believe in him. No one else has this power, friends. Doesn't matter how wise they are. We have to remember, salvation is not just about getting the information right. It's not just a matter of acquiring great and higher wisdom. We need to be saved, and salvation means to be cleansed of our sin and brought from death to life by God's own power. We need a power that not only deals with the sin problem, but we need a power, the power of God, to animate us, to make it possible for us to pass from death to life. So, again, Father Fitzmyer, the glory he received from the Father, that is Jesus, became his power, the power to create new life in those who believe in him. Acquiring knowledge and wisdom cannot make new life. It could talk about new life. It could give us greater insight into things, but it doesn't produce life. Life comes from God. God is the source of life. He's a living being. Father Fitzmyer goes on, he says, Jesus the Lord possessed a power derived from the Father and capable of bringing about the resurrection of Christians. This is the heart of the matter. We need power to rise from the dead. And we want to live. We want to live the life after death. We don't want to come into that alternative, which is life separated from God, because we're dead in our sins and we're separated from the relationship God desires to have with us. The church lives, friends, to communicate this through her preaching and her sacraments. And so, if you're asked the question, "What is evangelization?" Well, evangelization is just this: helping people come to the knowledge of their actual sin-sick condition, and to see that God in his mercy has come to us in Jesus to forgive sins, and that Jesus wants to not only forgive sins, but extend his eternal life to every single person that bears the image of his Father. That's the fundamental mission of the church. And so the church realizes that everyone stands in need of salvation because everyone is under the reign of sin and death, and that there's only one way to get people out of it, and that's in Jesus. And that's being repenting and being baptized into Jesus, so that in that baptism, St. Peter said, our sins can be forgiven, and we're given the life of the Holy Spirit, and we become children of God. And that work of salvation begins, and we're united to Jesus. We become part of the body of Jesus, visible in his church, but also with the invisible body that's with Jesus, right, and all those who believe in him. We're united to the person of Jesus, who alone can bring about the resurrection of Christians, as Father Fitzmyer put it. God bless you, friends. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.